Hey, welcome to the September edition of the Endpoint Zone. This is the Endpoint Zone with Brad Anderson. Brad, welcome to the very new Channel 9 studios.
Yeah, these are nice digs. It's a lot better than where we used to be at.
Yeah, we've got like this nice background behind us now and everything.
It's awesome.
It's really pretty cool. So coming up on the show today, we have some of the new Intune releases. We're going to take a look at a fairly serious vulnerability that happened on iOS over the course of the past couple of weeks. We're going to have a look at the new things inside of EMS E5. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk a little bit about the industry and about what's coming up at Microsoft Ignite.
How long is this going to take?
A lot of stuff. Well, right. Let's try and get through it
as quickly
as we can. Everybody is a little bit time poor these days. So let's start off with the latest Intune releases. Lots and lots of cool stuff in the release that we just had, including zero-day support for something that I find really hard to say, Android Nougat, or Android version 7.
Nougat.
Yeah, Nougat. There we go.
It's kind of like the aluminium.
Thing. Yeah, I can't say aluminium at all. It's a pretty great set of features, though, that we've got there. Zero-day support, again, like we do with every single operating system release.
Yep.
Super important that we have that.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to zero-day support of iOS as that comes out here in the next couple of weeks as well, iOS 10.
Yeah, that is going to be kind of interesting. Very cool stuff planned for iOS 10. We also produced two things around being able to block applications on certain types of devices, where those devices have APIs that allow us to do that. Mm-hmm. So one of those was on Android with Samsung Knox.
Yep.
That allows us to block apps that maybe you don't want actually running on some of your corporate-owned devices there. And we also had the ability to do the same kind of thing on iOS supervised devices. So again, this is a capability that's going to work really well for corporate-managed mm-hmm. devices. And it's going to allow you to have that control over the apps and make sure that apps that you don't want running aren't able to run in those kind of situations. So those are some of the things that we shipped. And of course, just like every month, the reason we ship those things is because that's what folks asked us to build.
Yeah, and the great part about it is we've talked about this over the last year or two, the fact that we're a service, which gives us the ability to be able to update, you know, every day if we really wanted to. The agility with which we're able to get new capabilities out is like nothing I've ever worked on before in my life. It's awesome. You know, as we're looking forward to Ignite, we'll talk about this later on in the show. There's just a ton of new mm-hmm. stuff coming for Ignite. In fact, we saved some of the pieces because we wanted to make sure that Ignite was hot.
Yeah, it's got to have some of the latest stuff in there. And in fact, that agility that we have in the service has helped a lot of our customers around the Trident vulnerability.
Correct.
That our partners at Lookout discovered this month.
Yeah, you know, and what I have found is worth spending a couple of minutes on this. And I think more than anything, what this brings to all of our attention, this is poignant reminder is, you know, all the operating system vendors, you know, whether it be Apple or Microsoft or Google, we work hard. We do everything we can to make sure that we ship is solid, secure. But, you know, we're human and there's always going to be issues. And what was remarkable about this issue that was found and then reported last week by Lookout is, you know, it was just literally an individual would get a link in a text. They would touch on the link, the device was jailbroken unbeknownst to them, and then the device was owned completely. Anything on that device, any texts, any phone calls, any messages, any email, data that was encrypted with applications could be unencrypted. You know, once you've jailbroken a device, you're owned. There's nothing on that device that the attacker couldn't get access to. And I think this was one of those kind of like watershed moments in the industry where people kind of realized, well, maybe iOS isn't quite as impenetrable as what we thought it was. And again, this is not a knock against Apple. All of the operating system vendors work hard, but there's going to be vulnerabilities. So you have to have this assumed breach posture, and you have to have the capabilities like an EMM solution, like an EMS, and then Lookout adds into that. And with some of the upcoming integration that we've done with Lookout, that better together scenario actually is going to even get better. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But I think more than anything, I think the organizations that I've spoken to since it came out, I've actually been surprised how well educated the industry got on this quickly,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, what most companies did that were using EMS is they simply went into their conditional access rules and said, hey, we're going to update our conditional access for our high-value targets mm-hmm. to our high-value services to require iOS 9.3.5. And instantly, if you weren't on that version of the operating system, your access was blocked.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, the industry is working with Lookout. Lookout's unique in that they actually have a device or multiple devices that have been compromised. They have the code that nobody else in the industry has. And so that partnership that we've struck out with Lookout, remember, we're actually an investor in Lookout. You know, I think Lookout actually demonstrated a lot of their leadership in the industry with the way that they were able to handle it, first of all, working with Apple to resolve the vulnerability. And then, you know, the way that they have then been able to adjust their technology from what we understand, they may be the only one that can actually detect this exact jailbreak. And so it's a really good solution. Lookout's a fantastic partner. And I think that, you know, more than anything, again, just reminds us all of you have to assume breach, you have to have the capabilities that allow you to be able to adjust quickly, and also identify these kinds of issues to be able to protect the company.
Yeah, and I've had a couple of conversations with some customers that haven't actually had capabilities like conditional access in other solutions that they have deployed. And that's really making the question, how are we able to address and look at a device and look at its current device state as it's accessing a service? And the answer is that if those services are in the cloud, there's probably not a really good way of doing that.
Well, aside from what we built with EMS,
yeah,
you know, so kind of give an idea of everyone to make sure you understand the architecture here. If you're using EMS with Office 365 or other services that we manage, which we're going to show again here in a minute, the way it works is, for example, when a device or an app makes a request to Office 365, the Office 365 services actually query EMS real-time when the request is made that says, hey, Brad's trying to access Exchange Online from this particular device. Should I allow it or should I not allow it? And those conditional access rules are applied real-time. Every single time a request is made to Office, you know, it actually queries with EMS, and so the amount of coordination that's going on the back end services is like unreal. But we're able to enforce real time, which our competitors don't do. Our competitors have latency, they don't do it real time, let alone our competitors have not built forward-looking capabilities that actually allow you to protect cloud services without having to go back through their proxies, which is an old architecture.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really not entirely suitable to the way that organizations are running their businesses today. You mentioned just then some of the new capabilities that we've brought out inside of Enterprise Mobility and Security.
Yeah.
Some of those are actually inside of the new EMS E5 SKU. So let's just talk a little bit around what we've got in there.
Yeah, so, right, so here's actually a view of what the new EMS E5 is. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, Enterprise Mobility Security, we renamed it from Enterprise Mobility Suite to Enterprise Mobility Plus Security, which, you know, kind of gives you an idea of where a lot of our focus is. Mm-hmm. Everyone that's bought this, and again, this is the fastest selling product in the history of Microsoft, has bought this EMS E3 SKU. And this is where you've got Azure Active Directory Premium, Intune, you have Advanced Threat Analytics, and you also have what we call Azure Information Protection. Mm-hmm. That's the renamed Azure RMS.
Okay, yep.
And this is the baseline that everybody's been purchasing. Well, in July, we announced the second SKU, EMS E5. And so there are some new capabilities in our identity management and identity protection, specifically the ability to actually be able to do conditional access and take automated actions based upon the risks that we identify. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that today. You know, I've got some work to do right here. I got to fill that blue gap, which is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Then we acquired a company about a year ago named Secure Islands. That technology that came from them is now Azure Information Protection, and it's a part of this EMS E5. And we're going to walk through how we're able to label and auto-classify data to protect the data. Okay.
Excellent.
And then we're also going to talk about our CASB offering, which is Microsoft Cloud App Security. And again, this also came from an acquisition of an organization named Adalom. And so we're going to talk about how the three of those, with a yet-to-be-filled space, now constitutes another EMS SKU, what the value is, okay? So I think the best way to do this is just to jump right into demos.
Yeah, totally. Let's do
that. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to switch over into an administrative console, and we're going to start with, let me get this here down, apologize. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. We're going to start with Azure Active Directory Premium. Okay, so first of all, what you're looking at here is an updated administrative console. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we've been working on is an updated administrative console where you see EMS all coming together, and there's going to be a lot more of that set over the next month, and we'll see this at Ignite. But what we've been able to build here now is the ability for us to take everything that we've been displaying up to organizations for years now around identity protection, mm-hmm. and be able to apply policy and take action on it. Okay, so I think multiple times on the endpoint zone, we've shown things like using all of the signal that comes back to Microsoft, we're able to identify these telltale signs of a compromised account. Like, for example, users logging in two physical locations in a time frame that's impossible. Or users that are authenticating on devices that are hiding or concealing its IP address from us. These are all telltale signals. Well, what EMS E5 now adds is the ability to be able to find conditional access policies based upon risk mm-hmm. to users and automate action.
Yes.
Okay, so let's kind of take a look at what it looks like. So first of all, you can see here I have this overview, and it shows me, you know what, there are 15 users that we believe, of your 117 users in this particular example, that you should be concerned about, because there's something about these 15 users that we believe is suspicious that you should take action on. So first of all, I can come in here and I can take a look at the users. And so it's going to give me a view of all the users that I should be concerned about. And I can drill into any one of these and it'll give me, you know, the things that I should be concerned about. So we're looking here at Maya. And if I take a look at Maya, there's a couple things. So first of all, Maya actually has had her user credentials leaked, and they're currently up for sale right now on the black market.
So that means that we've been out there and located those credentials inside of a paste bin or something on the internet. And we're now giving you guys the information to say, hey, actually this user has been part of that leak.
This is information that flows in from our digital crimes unit. Mm-hmm. Our digital crimes unit is working around the globe, and one of the things that they do is we're constantly scanning the paste bins for user accounts that have gone up for sale. Mm-hmm. So Maya right now has a user account up for sale, which is super, super bad news. You can also see here that, you know, over on this July 8th, there were three separate instances where she logged in from a device that is hiding its IP address from us.
Yeah, and that's immediately suspicious. It probably means that they're accessing from the Tor network or something that's obfuscating the IP address, and that's never really a good sign. Most users don't do that.
Normal users don't do that, right? Yeah. So it's one of those telltale signals. Okay, so now I can see which user accounts I should be concerned about. I can also now get a view of what the risks are. So if you take a look here, here are the risk events. And like, you know, hey, users whose credentials we know are up for sale, that's high. Yeah. You know, this from anonymous IP addresses or these impossible location travels. This is where a user logged in one physical site, then logged in another site in a time frame that's impossible. That's classified as medium. You can obviously go and you can go and change these. But now what is really cool about EMS is I can actually build a policy now that allows us to take automated action on this. So for example, I can go and say, I want to take a look at my users. I can do all users. I can do selected individuals. And I want to build a conditional access policy that says, you know, hey, if they're at lower above, medium or above, or high above, I'm going to build one that says, if all my users, if Microsoft EMS is classifying their identities as high risk, mm-hmm. I actually want to do things like I want to block access to the services that they're accessing.
Yep.
Right? It's black and white.
Yep.
This is what we do at Microsoft, you know? If someone comes in and the telltale signals are telling us that this user account has been compromised, we want to block access. At a minimum, you could do things like you could allow access but require the user to do a multi-factor authentication. It's all automated. You set up the policy as an IT professional. We'll enforce it based upon that real-time information that is coming into us around identity protection.
That's pretty incredible. I don't think there's very many people out there that have that kind of capability built into any of their identity systems today.
So let's talk about this for a minute, because, you know, the industry talks about identity management. Identity management and identity protection are actually different. Mm. And identity protection is a heck of a lot harder to do. Yeah. You know, identity management is things like I'm going to provision an identity in one service or in one location, things that are all about managing the identity. If you're going to protect the identity, you actually have got to have signal. You have to have lots of signal mm-hmm. coming in from around the world in order to be able to do what we just showed you. Nobody else has this,
yeah.
You know? And so we have signal coming in, like let's give a couple of examples. We patch over 1 billion PCs every month with Windows Update. That signal that comes in, and we're loading that into something we call the Microsoft Security Graph. Mm-hmm. We have hundreds of millions of devices that are sending us malware data 3 times a day. All that comes into the graph. We do 5 billion authentications to Azure Active Directory every week. Every one of that sends signal back all in the graph. Yeah, the attacks on Azure, the attacks on Xbox Live, the attacks on all the user accounts that are happening with Outlook.com all generate signal, and that is all now into the Microsoft Security Graph. This Microsoft Security Graph, there's nothing like it anywhere in the world that I am aware of. Mm. And what you're looking at here is solutions built on top of the graph that now is taking all that data, all that signal, using machine learning and data analytics and putting it to work to protect you.
Totally incredible.
Yeah.
And we are completely unique. We have the cloud to be able to build this kind of thing. Nobody else actually has that.
And it's fascinating. You just kind of watch the competitors to EMS now talking about identity management. But you know what? They don't do identity protection. They don't have signal. Yeah. They won't be able to do what we just showed you. This is a very unique capability to what Microsoft delivers, and it's just going to continue to get better. I mean, there's more, you know, I know what's coming over the next 6 mm-hmm. months on this, and it's just phenomenal, but we offer ability for organizations to protect themselves and protect their identities like nobody else in the world can do.
Yeah, absolutely incredible.
So that's the first new component of EMS, right?
And this is in preview right now, so you can go check out identity protection immediately.
And it's just awesome. Okay. All right, so let's now talk about data protection and Azure Information Protection. Okay, so this is, again, technology that came from the acquisition that we did of Secure Islands. And the concept here is we've always believed that, you know, things like MDM and MAM, you're trying to put fences around the data. Mm-hmm. MDM tries to put a fence around the device. MAM tries to put a fence around the app. But ultimately, we believe that data should be self-protecting.
Yeah.
Okay, and so what we've done with EMS since its inception, you know, 2.5 years ago, is we can now actually embed the user privileges, the access privileges, into the file itself, and then it travels with the file. And so, for example, if I have a confidential file, I can define who can access it. We actually write those privileges into the file. And then if that file leaks or I send it to somebody that's not supposed to get it, it doesn't matter because the file knows the exact identities that are authorized to open it. And it actually phones home to see when somebody tries to open it if they're allowed to. And so we're able to take identity protection, data protection, to the file level, which again is unique in the industry. Nobody else can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not even just with Office files. It's with other types of files as well. And
that's right.
I think, one of the things that a lot of people forget. Most organizations, yes, they use Office. It's a primary
And the bulk of the data, the bulk of the files that get generated in a company or shared are Office, but there's more.
Yeah, but there are more, particularly engineering companies. They use engineering diagrams. They can be protected as well. Kind of an important piece is that it's not just a Microsoft ecosystem. We no longer live in that world. We're open. We have lots of other people inside of our ecosystem.
And one of the most interesting verticals on this is automotive.
Yeah.
This capability is heavily used in automotive in their CAD systems because they want to protect those designs. I mean, that's their IP, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's jump in and show you some things here. So let's start in Word. Now, as we talked about, you know, Simon, you mentioned the ultimate person who really knows if this is a personal document, is it a corporate document, and how confidential is the person who's creating it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Azure Information Protection does is empowers me as a user. I can come in here and say, I'm going to edit this document, and I'm going to classify it as confidential. Now, as I classify it as confidential, based on policy, you can see down here that the sensitivity has been changed, and you saw that watermark appear. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's already gone and done the things to make sure that the document is labeled correctly, but then I can also identify who's authorized to access it, and that gets written in the file. That document is now a self-contained entity in itself that's secure.
Yep.
But you know, the reality is we know that users will forget. Sometimes they don't remember to do the labeling or the classification. So we had to figure out a way to also automate that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's show another use case on this. This time it's going to Excel. So I'm coming into Excel here, and what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go open up a document here. Now I'm in this document, and inside of this document, you know, you can see it's got different information. It looks like it's a budget.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come in here and I'm gonna go paste some information in. Now just happens I'm pasting in some credit card information. Now when I click save on this, what's going to happen is it automatically is able to classify it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you notice here it was automatically classified as confidential because it contains credit card information.
That's
so
great.
IT professionals can define the policies, and then every save action, it'll automatically run through those policies, identify if there's content in the document that would cause it to be classified. It could be credit card, it could be code names of projects. You know, the options are limitless. But this actually is a personal document. It's not a corporate document. And so in this case, the corporation has gone and actually taken a personal document that I was working on and classified it as corporate confidential. But again, we're empowering the user. So the user can come in here and say, you know what, this is actually a personal document. And the user is ultimately in charge of that. And so it's all about guiding the user to do the right things with the corporate data.
Yeah, and we capture that information and it becomes part of the auditing so that we know that that user overrode the rule that we had in place.
Oh, good point.
So,
you know, another important aspect of this is our apps, the Office mobile apps, get used in people's personal life and their business life, and it's only one of a handful of apps that get used in both. Just like we talked about data loss prevention and the ability to manage where a user can save a file or copy or paste, you know, we have to be able to understand when you're working on a corporate document or when you're working on a personal document, we need to protect the company data, but we also need to protect the user's privacy. And so the capabilities that we've built in across EMS, whether it's in Intune, whether it's in AIP, understand this concept of multi-user, of multi-use, and apply it to both empower and protect the user and to protect the company.
Yeah, as you say, completely unique. Nobody else in the industry is dealing with these kind of challenges.
They don't have apps that people want to use in both their personal life and their business life. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Yeah, they have the knockoffs which just don't feel right.
All right, so that's the second new component of Enterprise Mobility and Security E5. Let's talk about the third one.
Yeah, okay. And that one is also available to try right now.
Yeah, this is in preview right now.
In preview.
Okay. All right, so let's go and let's now talk about our CASB solution. And so this is called Cloud App Discovery. And, you know, you're looking at the administrative console here, and the concept here is help organizations identify the cloud apps that their users are using, mm-hmm. bring the ones under management that you want to bring under management, but then be able to understand how users are using those cloud apps to be able to identify things that are risky or things that are problematic for the company. Okay? So the first thing you look at here is I've got this dashboard, mm-hmm. and I can see here that there have been 512 SaaS apps that have been discovered. That is interesting in and of itself. Most companies, if you were to ask them how many SaaS apps their employees are using, would have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty common.
But that number, if you're an organization 5-10,000 users or above, you probably have more than 500 cloud apps that are being used.
Yeah.
Okay, we have sanctioned 23 of them. There are actually 10 that are blocked. We're actually blocking access to these 10 SaaS apps from within the company.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay, so I get this dashboard. I can take a look at the cloud apps that are being defined. Now, we've done a bunch of work here. So for example, you can see, in the case of Office 365, how much traffic has gone up, how much has been uploaded, the number of transactions, the number of users. This security score is really interesting. We've actually done the work here to, we've done this homework that helps us to be able to identify the security settings or the security capabilities of the SaaS app. Mm-hmm. Does it encrypt data? Does it remember the password? Can you do file sharing? All that work that we do. We also can come back and tell you what the regulatory compliance that it's been certified with.
Yeah, now I find this to be absolutely incredible because I used to have to deal with regulatory compliance criteria. Certain ones of these can take months to actually work through. And this just totally revolutionizes that for you.
Well, and for most companies, if they're not using something like Cloud App Security, they have teams of people who are out trying to discover all this information on their own. Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself on a treadmill because this data changes, and the certifications change all the time. We've done this work for over 13,000 cloud apps.
Wow.
It's a phenomenal
That's
amount.
Amazing.
It's remarkable how often I'll walk into a customer, we're talking, and they've got a team that's doing this. And I'll say, why are you doing that? Let us do it for you. Mm-hmm. We're doing it for the world. Okay. Now, this is great that you can discover the cloud apps that are in use. But what you really want to be able to do is you want to be able to investigate how your users are using it. So here we have the ability to investigate. You can look at corporate files that have been put up in these cloud apps, different accounts, mm-hmm. Look at the built-in reports. Let's go take a look to show you the power of cloud app security. So here I have an ability to go in and do a query. Like, I want to look at all cloud apps, all users, and I want to look at any files that have been uploaded by my users, by my employees, that are publicly accessible, meaning not requiring a username and a password to get access to. Anybody in the world could get access to these files
just
going to the URL.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so here I can take a look at all the cloud apps, the file. I can come in and take a look here, for example, and see information such as, actually, we could do it a different way there. Sorry. I can click on that file and it'll show me information like, who the user is, where the folder is, when it was uploaded. So I get all this information about these files that are publicly accessible. Okay, that's great. But what customers really want to know is if these files that are publicly accessible is actually causing them to be non-compliant or what kind of a risk it's putting them in. Well, we've done that work too.
Wow.
And so IT professionals are able to go to find policies. And so now I can go take a look, for example, at my PCI compliance policy, and we will actually show you the files that are causing you to be non-compliant. So there's two files here. First one, this is actually a test file. And interestingly enough, this was put up by the security department to actually verify that EMS was doing what it said it would. But this other file is really interesting. It is actually a file that contains customer payment information, and it's just publicly accessible anywhere on the web, causing me to be non-compliant with my PCI compliance rules.
Wow, that'd be a huge problem for most organizations.
Enormous, right?
Wow.
And so what I'm able to do here now is I can come over and I can take action. I can do things like I can make the document private. I can actually put the user in quarantine so the user can't do any more damage like
that
this.
That might be a good plan.
Yeah, but I'm now able to get this view, and again, of over 13,000 cloud apps, and I can discover how my users are using it, and I can discover if there are things that are actually causing me to be non-compliant. Now, the last thing I want to show on this is alerts. This is super fascinating. Again, this is because we have all this signal, all this data coming in. We're giving you a set of alerts here that say, hey, there's some things you should be concerned about, like the first one here, Salesforce zombie account. If you take a look at this, what this actually is, it's a Salesforce account that's been dormant for 60 days.
Okay.
So it could be that you're paying for a SaaS app for a user, it's not needed anymore.
Yeah, you could reclaim the license.
Exactly, you can reclaim the money. This is interesting. Let's go take a look at this general anomaly detection. What we're showing here is we're saying, this user, Lisa Wilson, has been signing in from a device that's behind an anonymous proxy. Mm-hmm. We can also see that she's an administrator, so she's a high-value target.
Wow. Yep.
She's actually logged in from this ISP called Voxility. It's the first time anybody in my company has ever logged in from behind this particular ISP.
Okay, this is getting concerning.
Yeah, so it could be that, you know, this is all information that helps me understand risk. I can take a look here. There have been 6 attempts to log in and with the wrong password, so it's failed.
Okay, so that's telling me maybe they were brute force attacking the account.
Exactly. Yep. And then finally, this user connected in Oregon and then connected from Tel Aviv, Israel, in a time frame that's physically impossible. It kind of goes back to the other reports that we were showing. The places where we're bringing all these EMS capabilities together gives you this kind of a view. This is an account that has been compromised.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, right? You know, the dead giveaway here is the fact that that user account was logged in 2 different physical locations in an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Somebody sharing that account at the very, very best hour.
And so, you know, enterprise mobility and security, you have capabilities around identity protection, cloud app protection, file protection. That's what EMS E5 is all about, is those additional layers of security. It's a remarkable set of capabilities. And again, there's nothing like this in the industry, and it's this comprehensive view that allows organizations to embrace mobility, embrace the cloud, empower their users while protecting the company data.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say this is truly the way that people are going to be working in the future.
And you know what? EMS is unique in this.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? And that actually brings us up an interesting point. One of the reasons why we're seeing so much incredible interest in EMS is the comprehensive nature of what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen organizations around the world who have deployed a number of these products, but they're operating independently, they're not integrated. You know, that's more cost, but more importantly, you're not getting the value of having all these different layers of your protection interoperate. So there are gaps, there are security holes that if you're not using something like EMS, you have. You know, a company could have an MDM solution, mm-hmm. an identity solution from a different provider, a CASB from a different provider. And, you know, there are organizations who are trying to establish relationships, but, you know, getting the level of integration to where these things are all interoperating and sharing this kind of data, it actually needs to come from one vendor, like as an example. Some of the signal that comes back to us that helps us to do these pieces, from the way that the promise that we've given to users, our end user license agreement, actually prevent us from sharing that with anybody. And so this all comes back to Microsoft and this Microsoft security graph. And because, you know, we're honoring our EULA, we're honoring the privacy that organizations have asked us to, we can operate on that data in a way that, you know, nobody else can. We have more data and we're operating in a way that ensures privacy, but it also ensures that we're helping customers. So it's interesting to take a look at what has happened in the last couple of months now in the market. So I'm just going to bring this particular slide up right here. And what this is showing us is what's happened in the last 3 public quarters of EMS sales versus AirWatch and versus MobileIron.
Yeah, that's right, because we just released earnings and everybody released all of those. Yeah.
Yep, VMware did, MobileIron, and Microsoft did. And so what I want you to take a look at here, this is actually taking a look at public information, net new customer adds.
Yeah.
Okay? And so you can take a look at what is happening. EMS is on this just incredible growth trajectory. In the last quarter, we added over 6,000 new customers. In that quarter, MobileIron added 500. AirWatch actually for the first time didn't disclose their number, but their website today said 16,000 customers. It's the same thing their website said 90 days ago. Okay, and so what we see happening here now is EMS now has over 33,000 unique paying customers. AirWatch has 16,000. MobileIron has 12,000. And look at the growth difference. You know, EMS is growing. Quite honestly, MobileIron and AirWatch are not.
Yeah, we have a paid user base, which is double. A paid customer base, which is double.
Yeah, double AirWatch and triple MobileIron.
Yeah, that's that definitely says something about the way that organizations are thinking about their enterprise mobility.
You know, everyone wants to go to where the quote unquote the puck's going to be at.
Yeah.
And so people are looking at where do I want to be 2 years from now? And this comprehensive nature of device management, application management, identity management, data protection, but bringing that all together with these conditional access policies that allows me to associate policy and conditionally govern access based upon device posture, application posture, identity risk, the data, you know, all that together, EMS uniquely delivers all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be delivering a lot more as well. As we start to move forward, we also start to think about the places where you're going to start to find out a lot more information.
Yeah.
And that brings up Microsoft Ignite coming up in, well, from now, just 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, 3 weeks, exactly. So Ignite sold out. You know, it sold out several weeks ago. Months ago.
Yeah.
So we're excited about it. You know, it's been fascinating to be working to put together all of these keynotes. So what we thought we'd give you today is a view of what Ignite's going to look like, encourage you to look at, watch the keynotes, but then also a commitment that we'll come back after Ignite when every session will be available on demand.
Yep.
And we'll give you a list of suggestions of what sessions you should watch. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Scott Guthrie will kick off the first day, and so that is Monday, September 26th. And there's a keynote that he will give that will cover all the innovations across Microsoft and that integrated innovation. That'll be available to watch live, and I encourage everybody to just go to ignite.com or ignite.microsoft.com right now. You know, make sure you know where that is. Get that on your calendar and watch that particular session. Later on in that day, Satya will do an hour keynote as well. And, you know, I had a chance to sit in one of Satya's review meetings this week and look at what he's going to be talking about. And, you know, man, there was one particular demo that they're going to do that I literally went, I just can't believe what I saw. I mean, it was one of those kind of like, that is amazing. Okay, so I encourage everybody to watch Satya's keynote later on in the day. After Scott's keynote, there's going to be a set of kind of foundational sessions or general sessions. There's one on security and management that I'm going to teach. There's one on productivity, one on the cloud, you know, on the cloud platform, one on voice from the cloud. There'll be one on Windows 10 and how to get to Windows 10, and there's 8 of those, and then there'll be sessions after that. And so if those of you who are coming to Ignite, you know, make sure you come to that security and productivity session. We're going to be showing a bunch of the new innovations in EMS, in Office 365, in Windows, and how those all work together. But what we'll do here is when Ignite is finished and all the sessions are available online, we'll post to the EMS website on blogs, and we'll get it out through Twitter and different places. Here is a set of things that we would recommend if you are working in mobility, in enterprise mobility, that you should go watch.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make sure that we get that out there very, very quickly after the event. We're also going to be meeting lots of customers at the event, which is one of the things that in the engineering team we find to be one of the most valuable things that we can possibly do. Lots of people in one place that we can learn from. Very, very important for us.
Yeah, Simon's got his work cut out for him last year at Ignite. myself and my direct reports, we met with customers that accounted for more than 5 million EMS licenses. You know, Simon's setting up all the customer meetings for us at Ignite, and you know, I think the goal's 10.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think that's all what you set for me. So we'll see if we hit that by the time we get there. I think that's about it for the show.
It's a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot in there. Make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes and that you go back and watch the best bits of the show. You can contact us at any time through our Twitter handles. We will see you the next time on the Endpoint Zone.